You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Amara Gay.
And life and loss. We're going to break down that thing called hurt and pain. And of course, we're going to shed some light on being a bomb.
Listen up.
There is a thing that's called entertainment. That's where you're entertained and educated at the exact same time. Kind of like what I call being inspired and motivated. And of course, I call that motivation.
Lean in. Listen up now.
OMG, OMG, OMG. Welcome to the OMG show, the Omara Gayle radio show. I'm your host, Mara Gayle, actress, author, evangelist, and co-producer and co-star of the award-winning docudramedy STEM, The Movement. And you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point so that you can make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach. I love serving Maravation. It's the perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. I think if more people would just get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, call up, or speak up and into the lives of others, we would experience a more productive world around us. And so what I want to start off this show, this next phase of our show with saying is happy 2019. Happy New Year to all of the listeners tuning in and those that will be catching us on podcasts. I am super excited today because I get to have a conversation and you get to eavesdrop on that conversation with my sister friend, Charlie Jordan Brookins. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Super excited.
We are here, huh?
Yes, we are. And, you know, for some, this is a repeat conversation, meaning they've had an opportunity to experience some of your nuggets and some of your tools and tips, but you're always repackaging, rebranding, and bringing something new. So for those that aren't aware of who you are, I just want to share a little bit about who Charlie is for those that are being introduced to her for the first time. She's a certified personal fitness trainer, a health coach, a motivational speaker. Charlie has been passionate about health and fitness. Clear to her in 2006 that this was a call. She heard a small voice that whispered, "My people are dying." And it was then that the vision for Fit Through Faith was born. And for those that don't know, she has an online community called Fit Through Faith, and we're able to encourage each other, chime in, post photos of things that we're growing in. And she gives us, she's actually hopefully going to talk about one of the newest assignments that we're doing now that we're chiming in on this week. We've been hydrating, and I'm sure she's going to share a little bit about that with you. And she's also the author of a devotional that has been extremely well received. It is called Faith, Food, and Fitness: 40 Days to Renew Your Mind and Transform Your Body. It's a jumpstart devotional with simplistic, profound tools in it that'll help you make incremental changes every single day so that you're not overwhelmed. So, Charlie, this particular show, we're going to be talking about a new year and a new you. And I know you got some success tools in the toolkit. So I'm going to let you go ahead and take the mic and do what it is that you do.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I always get excited at the beginning of the year, but I also want to make sure that at the beginning of the year, there's a lot of pressure, right? Like, I've got to do it right, and I've got to do it right on January 1st. Let all of that go. right? You start your new year when you're ready. Not ready like I'm waiting to be ready, but a little uncomfortable, but not in the middle of a storm.
Yes.
Right, because sometimes at the beginning of the year, there's too much going on, and then we try to start it, and then we fail, and then we never catch up again. So at the end of the year, you knew that I had this whole concept called Happy Now Year. So you can start your year when you say this is it. One year I started my new year on February 1st, and it was very intentional. I said, you know, in February 1st, I'm going to do what I need to do, and February 1st, Happy New Year or Happy Now Year, whatever you want to do. But there's some key things that you want to make sure you have in place before you launch out on, you know, on resolutions that 80% of which fail by February 14th. So we want to set you up for success, and that's the key. And the first tool is having a vision, right? We know what it says in Habakkuk. We know write the vision and make it plain so that you can run. So without a vision, you're not running because you don't, you know, without direction, you know, you aim at nothing, you do it every time. So we want to be clear on the vision. It doesn't have to be deep, but you do have to take a minute and explore where do you want to be at the end of the year, not just physically, more importantly, emotionally. How do you want to feel at the end of 2019? What is that word that you're, you know, that the biggest stumbling block that you have right now? Like for me, I want to feel secure. I want to feel secure in my life, in my finances, in my relationship with God, all of those things. That feeling is what I want to get at the end of 2019. And it can even be, how do you want to look? You know, what dress do you want to, how do you see yourself? And paint a vision for yourself that's real, that's exciting, that's yummy, but write it down. So it can be a word, it can be a picture, but there should be some emotional content behind it. The vision, a vision is not like, I want to be 20 pounds lighter at the end of the year. We'll get to what that is, but that's not a vision. A vision is exciting, it's yummy. You can actually have a visual to it. You know, you can have some scripture that supports it, but make sure you have a vision that you write down that really excites you.
Charlie, you know, while you're talking about that, I want to mention New Year in terms of getting on the good foot, and I call it the good foot, until January the 6th. That was this past Sunday. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get on board. And I didn't feel guilty starting a few days late because I had chimed in on one of your posts, and you were talking about that. And I said, you know what? That's exactly what I – because I was feeling guilty at first, you know, around the third. I was like, man, why am I not motivated? Why can't I do it? And then I chimed in on something you said, and I said, okay, release the guilt and just pick a date that you want to start when you're feeling it. Because until my mind is in the game, I can't quite get on the program. And when you're saying write down the thing, you know, that's Habakkuk 2:2, and I totally understand that. And it's interesting how – I can write down vision for my business sometimes, but I wasn't really keen on writing down my physical goals until I started chiming in on your tips and your tools. And so this is very real for me. What is it that I want to be? Where do I want to be at the end of 2019? Or how do I want to feel? Or how do I want to look? That brings it to the heart of the issue, and I can put something that's grounding, like an anchor on it, instead of something like, oh, I just want to be healthier, you know, without a real purpose behind it. So I thank you for sharing that with the listeners and with me.
Awesome. Love it. And so moving into the toolkit, so the second toolkit, and we've talked about this before, but I can never say it enough because we often just don't have it, is having your big, bold why. Not just a little baby why, but a big, bold why. And that is, why is it important for you to be in better or even moving to your best whole body health? What is, again, that emotional connection of why it's important? Because oftentimes we just say we need to do this, like I need to lose 10 pounds. And you can lose 10 pounds, but if it's not connected to purpose, if it's not connected to an importance to you, you may prioritize it for a minute, but you're going to fall off because you don't have that foundational support. You know, we know unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. When you don't have purpose supporting that foundation, you're on sand, right? And so it's so important that you understand a big, bold why. A big, bold why is not, I want to wear that dress for my, you know, 25th high school reunion. that is a goal that will get you to the reunion, and then as soon as the reunion's over, then you're like, oh, okay, well, I did it, and you will automatically go back to those behaviors because you have no motivation after that. Three
yes.
things about a big, bold why. Number one,
mm-hmm.
it should be long-term, so it shouldn't be over in 3 months because that's not going to get you there. Number two, and this is big, it should be other-focused. It shouldn't be focused on you necessarily. It should be focused on service because when we think about things for other people, it becomes more important to us, right? When we think about service, there's an importance to it because it is our service. That's what we are called to do. We were created to do good works. We were created to serve, right? So you want
yes.
it to be big. And then you want it to be exciting, white hot. You're passionate about it. It needs to be important to you. So, for example, my big, bold why is life unassisted. I want to, when my kids are in the prime of their lives, I do not want to be dependent on them, right? I don't want to be dependent on medication. I don't want to be dependent on anything but Jesus. And that's going to require me today to eat a certain way and move a certain way and be in alignment with how God wants me to eat and move. And that's the blessing. It's like he tells us what to do. And when we
yes.
do it, ooh, we have a life and a life more abundantly. Oh, and isn't that why Jesus
yes.
came in the first place?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, you know, no one plans. This is what's so interesting about this and why I feel your information, the way that you share it, as well as how you formulated it, why it's so important. Because nobody plans to say, oh, I want to take 6 pills a day. Oh, I want to have a wheelchair, you know, when I'm 60 instead of being able to walk on my own. Oh, I want to have my kids wait on my beck and call or wipe my bottom or comb my hair because I can't move or can't do whatever. And that's in all facets, not just the bigger scope of dis-ease, but that's from tendonitis, arthritis, otitis, whatever other itis people have, because those inflammations are a product or a result of some things that we've consumed 9 times out of 10 or some muscles that we just didn't lubricate or move or cause there to be some motion in our lives. And so the stiffness sets in, and there are ways that we could prevent this. So having that why and making it, like you said, an emotional connection to it. I love yours, life unassisted. You know, I wish I had thought of that, but I think I might just bite yours because I'm still working on the draft of the program that you shared with me about a week or so ago, and I'm still carving it out and kind of honing it. But I mm-hmm. loved your life unassisted because that's it. I don't want to be on drugs. I don't want to have
yes.
to be on a wheelchair or cane or crutch, and I don't want to, you know, have someone else to take care of me. I think it's a beautiful one.
And that's the thing. It's like anyone, you find that thing that works for you. If you are,
yeah.
I've had clients in the healthcare field where their thing is to be an ambassador for health on the job. Because it's like if you are in the healthcare field and to be that ambassador of health, then you're motivated every day to do the work because you're trying
yeah.
to inspire others. It may be about your grand,
yeah.
like you want to have the, you know, the wherewithal to be active for your grandchildren. You know, you want to be,
yeah.
you know, so it's all of those things that, again, are, you know, it doesn't have to be totally service-oriented. I wouldn't say mine is service-oriented. I would say, but mine
right.
is about, you know, it excites me and it keeps me grounded. Obviously, Fit Through Faith is a huge one for me. I can't,
yeah.
I have to walk my talk, right? And it's like I
yes.
can't stand before my tribe and
right.
not be doing the work, but I enjoy the
right.
work, right? Because because I'm actually, I have energy. I feel good and I'm able to share that with others. It's a gift.
Yes, it is. And we see it and we're grateful for it because it then, of course, like I said, it inspires and motivates us.
Awesome. So that's our big tool number two. So the next tool is really, and if you've worked in corporate as I have, you've heard the term SMART goals. And SMART goals basically are S is specific, so you want it to be very specific. M is measurable. You ideally want it to be quantifiable in some way. A is action-oriented. It should inspire you to do something. R is realistic, right? So we want to make sure we're setting a goal that we can accomplish, maybe a little bit outside our comfort zone, but not too far. And then T is time-bound, so you want to put a time on it. Now, the thing about SMART goals is, and especially at the beginning of the year, it's very tempting to have like 10 goals. And the problem
yeah.
with 10 goals is your likelihood of finishing 10 goals is really low. The research says if you have 1 to 3 goals, you're actually likely to complete 1 to 3 goals. If you take it to 4 to 10, you're likely to complete, you know, again, 2 of those. You know, so the more goals you have, the less you're likely to complete them. So it's not to say that you can't do more than 3 things this year. Prioritize 3 and put the rest of them on your someday maybe list. Put the rest of them on the, you know, the whiteboard or wherever you kind of keep your ideas. And as soon as you finish one, slide that on out and move one of the other ones in. But I really want to encourage everyone, don't set too many of them because you're setting yourself up for failure. So if you have 3 goals, if you have one that's purpose-oriented, one that is food-oriented in terms of how you nourish your body, and one that is fitness-oriented, that's a great way to have, you know, kind of the trifecta of getting to look, feel, and serve your best by the end of the year.
Oh, that's awesome. And I think sometimes because, you know, and I'm glad you said, you know, try to break it down to 3 because we just go all out. We're like, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do, and then we feel like a failure.
Yep.
When you can't accomplish all of them. And instead of feeling a pride in saying, you know what, I'm going to get these 3 things done. I'm going to give my attention and my focus to these 3 things, because I know statistics talk about how when we are honed in on one particular thing, we're 9 times out of 10 more likely to hit the target than if we are, you know, doing 20 different assignments in life.
Absolutely.
And so the same should go for our goals, for our fitness. You know, some people call them resolutions, some people call them goals, some people call them blessings, bliss. However it is people phrase them, I think that's such a healthy and a wise tip to narrow the thing down, so that we, A, don't get overwhelmed, but 2, so that we can be strategically planning to accomplish those things, putting in the time, putting in the energy. And I also, I don't know if you I know we talked about writing it down, but one of the things I also do is I hold my goals list in my wallet. I take it with me so that if I'm in a waiting position, like in a doctor's office, or I'm in a grocery store line, I'll go through it. Now it's in my phone, so I'm reading it, but it's still with me. I still type it in or transfer the information. But seeing that before me throughout the day or throughout the week, it helps me be accountable to me. It reminds me of the things I said I wanted to do. And nobody else is going to do that for me. And so that's one of the things I think that helps me hit the mark by the end of the month or the end of the quarter or the end of the year is keeping those goals before me. So thank you for whittling it down to saying, hey, pick 3. And I'm like, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I could do that.
Right. But what's real about what you said, Mara, is the having it in front of you. Because what often happens is we set these goals for the year, even if they're 3. And they're for the year. So it's a long-term goal. And then we never really, number one, break it down. So the first thing you want to do, if it's a year goal, where do you want to be in 6 months of that goal?
Yeah.
Where do you want to be in 3 months? So you have to break it down in a 6 month, a 3 month. You could do a 1 month, which gives you where you should be each week. And you have to have a system of review. So if you just set a goal and write it down, done. Right? Then you have to break it down into actionable steps. So like we're doing, as you know, in the Fit Through Faith Village, we're going through faith, food, and fitness. All we're focusing on is hydrating, right? And so there's actually a daily goal for hydrating. But the goal is by the end of the week to be at 64 ounces. So if I want to be at 64 ounces at the end of the week, the beginning of the week, where am I going to start? Well, let me see. Can I start at 48? But you have to be that in tune and connected with your goals on a daily, but at least a weekly basis, so that you know where you are.
Yes. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love it.
And as we continue to talk about goals, I'm going to introduce, this concept is really super yummy, and it's not mine, it's not original to me, but I love to share it because most people have never heard of it before, but it's this concept called the whirlwind. There's a wonderful book called Four Disciplines of Education, Four Disciplines of Execution by actually Stephen Covey's son, Franklin Covey. And one concept that Franklin, you know, brings up is this concept of the whirlwind. And the whirlwind is life. right? The whirlwind are those day-to-day tasks that just happen that you don't have control over, and that's why it's called the whirlwind. And the issue is the whirlwind always exists, and the whirlwind is urgent. The whirlwind is really what keeps us from doing what we want to do because it exists. And the way the whirlwind shows up is urgent. It's loud. It's like, it just takes stuff. Right, you had all these beautiful plans, but the whirlwind comes in. You get a phone call. My kid is sick. Like, all of this stuff is life stuff, and it becomes super urgent. But on the other side are your goals. Your goals are beautiful. Your goals are important. They're special.
Yes.
But they urgent will trump important every time. So you have to be really precious with your goals, and you need to put them and schedule them in a time that's least likely to be disrupted by the whirlwind. So if your goal is a fitness goal and you just say, I'm going to work out 3 times a week, good luck, right? Because the whirlwind and the negative chatter, all of that stuff will get in the way of your goal. And a lot of the stuff will feel absolutely logical. Yeah, well, my boss called, and I had to stay late for 3 hours. Absolutely. Or someone got sick. All of the stuff really, you know, so it's not about guilt. It just doesn't happen. You have to find the time when you are least likely to get distracted. You need to get outside of the whirlwind, schedule it, and protect that time. Because there are times where the whirlwind can't get to you, right? You know, and sometimes it's getting up an hour earlier. It's doing those things to protect your special, precious goals.
Yes. You know, I love that whole, when you introduced that, like I said, when I chimed in on a talk you were doing, I thought, that's it. You know, when you call the hospital, for example, it asks you, is it urgent or emergent? You know, because there's a difference. You know, there's the things that I want to do, and then there are the things that I don't have a choice. I got to do. I got to, if my car breaks down, I've got to get it fixed. If my kid gets sick, I've got to go to the hospital. I've got to pick them up from school. If the child is sick and has to stay home, that means your whole day may be completely rearranged. Or if a deadline shifts at work or traffic was so bad, you got there later, there was an accident. All these things, like you said, are the whirlwind. You can't do, these are the uncontrollables. And so it's really wise of us to try to ensure that the things we can control, we have set in an environment and a time frame where we literally can control it to the best of our ability, that is.
Exactly.
So I try, you know I do a prayer call every morning at 6:15. So now I've assigned that to be my workout time. So I'm on the tread while I'm doing the call. So I'm multitasking. I call it blessing two angels with one kiss. So that I'm multitasking, you know, I'm multitasking and I'm getting in the workout because I know I'm going to be on the call to pray. So it's a way for me to do both at the same time. And on occasion, I'll schedule even a second little mini kind of workout with some weights or something in the evening right before dinner. Because I know at that time I'm not going to be as busy. I can wind it down. I can get prepared and go and do it. But I put those guardrails up and those boundaries or those borders because if I get a last minute audition, guess what? I have to learn the lines and then I've got to record the show. If I get a last minute booking, I've got to go and travel. I've got to pack. And these are things that I love. I love those just as much as I love being healthy and fit. So you sharing with us that the whirlwind, and it's interesting. The imagery of a whirlwind is something that you're caught up in. It carries you away. It is all encompassing. It surrounds your world. It is a visual that is so huge, Charlie, that there's no way that anybody can miss the fact that a whirlwind can put you in their world and everything that you had planned to do, everything that you wanted to do, literally, it won't take a backseat. It sometimes gets kicked out the car.
Absolutely.
It's on the curb. It's on the curb of life waiting for you to pick it up. I don't know if there are others out there listening, but I know when I have to travel, that's the time that I really kind of get caught off guard. And I know you've got some other tips that you want to share, but I want to take a little break. And when we come back, I want you to also give us you know, hopefully some tools and tips on what we can do when we travel so that we don't get caught up in the, you know, like our muscles get used to working out, our body's kind of feeling it.
Yes.
And then the minute we get a day off, it's like the body's like, ooh, rest. This sleep feels good. Ooh, don't get on a treadmill. Come on, you know you don't want to do it. That much more difficult to start back up. So we're going to take a little pause for the cause. I want to encourage you, if you're listening and you have any questions for Charlie or you want to tune in, chime in on something and join the conversation, you can give us a call at 347-324-5246. Press 1 if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. Again, the phone number is 347-324-5246. Press 1 if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. We'll be right back right after this short commercial break.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG. I'm Mara Gail, your host, and my special guest is none other than Charlie Jordan Brookins. And we've been talking about a new year, new year, new you, and she's been sharing tips on for our success toolkit. And one of the things that we went over is about writing your vision. We also talked about, she shared on your big, bold why. She shared with you to come up with 1 to 3 SMART goals so that you're not overwhelmed. And then we just recently discussed and touched on understanding the whirlwind. And, Charlie, I don't want to assume that you were finished with that particular topic before we go on to the tips you can share with traveling. Is there any additional information you wanted to share on the whirlwind? Because I got caught up in the whirlwind of what it seems and sounds like to me.
Because it's personal, right? You're like, ooh, that's what that was. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just having an awareness that it exists and calling it out when you see it. And that's the key.
Yeah.
So you recognize what it looks like, what it feels like. It's like, oh, white whirlwind, and being able to call it out. And travel is a big one, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I used to travel a lot. Now I don't travel quite as much, but there is something called a vacation mentality. There's something that happens when we get on a plane that makes us, like, really kind of regress into vacation mentality, even when we're traveling for work. Because, again, we're thrown off of our schedule. We're thrown in a different environment. And so there's something kind of that naturally shifts our brain into, oh, I'm traveling. Ooh, vacation. But one thing that we just have to do is plan in advance. You know, so, and it doesn't necessarily take that much time. You do need to kind of say, for example, one way to do it is when you know you're going somewhere, do some Google research. Automatically, where's the Whole Foods? Does my hotel have a gym? What's available to me and what do I need to bring? I always bring some stuff. I always bring my nuts and seeds. I always bring a few, the cleanest, you know, kind of granola bars that I can find. You know, sometimes they'll bring popcorn. Especially on the plane, you absolutely need to bring your stuff. But you also, you know, they have those what's the name of the – they're those lunch bags where you can put them in the freezer, and they're great for the plane, so that you can bring some fruit or you can bring a hard-boiled egg or you can bring some things that may need a little refrigeration, because they usually I have one. I'll have to remember for whatever reason. My mind is not remembering the name of it. But then you can bring that on the plane.
Like the lunch box, the little thermal
lunch box? Yeah, there's a brand that I use that I wanted to give.
Okay.
When I remember it, because I will remember it as we're doing this, I will let the people know. But because they fold down in your freezer, and then they keep things cold for up to 10 hours. So it's great to take on the plane.
Oh.
Or your nut butters, your avocado, you know, all those things that are satiating and that keep you full longer. So the first thing is kind of, you know, have your emergency kit that you bring with you to get you started. Know what you have available to you, whether it's, you know, a restaurant or a Whole Foods or something, Trader Joe's whatever's, you know, you have that way. And then you have kind of the DIY stuff. So, you know, YouTube has a ton of workouts that you can use if
yes.
you don't have a, you know, a gym. So no excuses mm-hmm. is the key. Figuring out, call the hotel. Is there a walking route, you know, around the hotel? A lot of them have mm. them, and they can give you maps to figure that out. But the key is when you get in front of it, then you already have a plan, right? If you're
yes.
waiting to get there and then try to figure it out, then you are dealing with willpower. And willpower
and we know how
is
that
depleting.
Goes. It's finicky.
You have it in the,
it's
exactly.
finicky.
You can't depend on that.
You cannot. It's so emotional driven. Hey, you
yes.
guys, we're going out for lunch. Want to go? And it's like your favorite restaurant that has your favorite dessert. Or, hey, we're going to go out for drinks over here. And you know what that's going to turn into.
Exactly.
You know what, Charlie? One of the other things that I did, I remembered this, and I haven't done this in a while, so it's interesting. It came back to my remembrance. I was touring on a stage play with David Talbert. We were doing Mr.
Hmm.
Right Now, and I was the sexy vixen in the play. And so I, you know, my legs and my figure, my shape all had to be on point. So
right.
I couldn't do, like, a lot of the cast members were going out at night because, of course, you know, you're wired after a show, so everybody's going out. And I knew that was too tempting for me. So I would always say, hey, catch y'all later, because I would wake up early in the morning and I would walk the stairs because I knew some of the places we stayed may have had gyms, but I knew every hotel we stayed in had stairs. And so I would literally do a one-hour workout up and down the stairs because, of course, I was, you know, my legs were like the asset in the show. And so it was one of the things, though, that kept me, my figure and my shape and kept my heart healthy. I totally forgot about that because most of the hotels I stay in now, of course, have stairs. I could just take the stairs when I don't feel like going into the gym. And although I love the gym, sometimes it's a little cold. And so
sure.
it helped for me to have something a little bit more room temperature. And so I'm going to start implementing that as well, you know, taking the stairs, not just when I'm coming in or going out, but intentionally going up and down flights of stairs for a workout.
Yep, and even the pool, you don't have to get your hair wet to get a workout in the pool, right? You can just
Ooh.
Literally do laps. You walk laps, jog laps. You will be shocked
oh my gosh.
How much you start sweating because you're working against the buoyancy of the water. So you don't have to.
You know, I never thought of that.
Yep.
Charlie, I never thought of that. And I love water, especially
yep.
warm water, but I love it. I've never even thought of it. I'm like, oh, gosh, I can't get my hair messed up. I can't
no.
get it all kinky. It's not, you know, that is really smart. Because
literally,
when I do water
just,
aerobics, my hair doesn't
it.
Get
you
wet.
You will get a workout.
Oh, that's good stuff. Yummy, as you would say. That's yummy. That's
so
yummy.
Planning is the key.
And,
you know, you just don't want it
yeah.
to take over, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, that's it. Oh, that's good. That's good. Hey, was your thing that you were talking about the eco vessel or the...
You know what it is? It's actually called Packet. And
Packet.
What's,
okay.
what's cool about Packet, there's so many different sizes. There's cute ones that look
Ooh.
Like a little purse. There are small ones. There's ones for salad size. There's ones that are more lunch bags, what I usually get for my kids. So there's a whole bunch of different sizes, and I think there's one that
Got
kind
it.
Of gets relatively large. But and,
yeah,
and I'm, again, I'm not
That's
a spokesman
cool.
for Packet, so there may be other options.
Right.
But
right,
I've
right,
found
right.
that they work really well.
Awesome sauce. I'm looking at it now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Awesome sauce.
Cool.
Great. Okay.
So do you
so
want to go
yummy,
to another tip?
We've got some tips now. Yeah, I'd love to go ahead and have you explore another one of the tips. And if again, I want to just give a quick little station identification. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Charlie Jordan Brookins, and she's giving us tips so that we can actually live a healthier, better life with this new year, discover a new you. And these are goals that you can implement today. These are goals that you can implement next week if you make up your mind to start next week. But they're small, incremental steps that won't overwhelm you. And her tips are so user-friendly is the best way to describe them. They're so simplistic and practical that it has changed my life and the way that I look at food and hydration and label reading and smoothies and all of these other things. So if you aren't familiar with who Charlie is, I really hope that you take an opportunity towards the end of this program. We're going to share with you some links and information so that you can follow her and find out where more of her information is, because every day there's something new to unwrap and discover. And I absolutely am an advocate for all things Fit Through Faith and my girlfriend and workout, Charlie. So thanks, Charlie. Just wanted to share that with our listeners.
Thanks, Mara. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So let's go on to another tip. This is really awareness, and this is like black belt stuff. Right?
All right.
And that people don't really talk about. Because here's the thing. You set your goal. You're super excited. You've started your new year whenever you decide to start it. You're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
You're being consistent. And then something happens. And then you're
right.
off. Right? And then what I call happens is called the dip. And the dip is one day you don't do what you wanted to do. And then the second day happens. By the third day, you start to doubt yourself, right? You doubt that all the work that you did really means anything. You start to recall all of the times that you failed doing a change. And then that little voice, the enemy's like, what? I'm in? Let me just remind you of all of the things that you failed at. You can't do this. You don't know how to take care of yourself. Who do you think you are trying to look like that? All of that stuff happens. Doubt starts to spin, and it starts to get big, right? So that's the D.
Yeah.
And what that spins into is the I, and the I is isolation. Then we start to pull back and allow that spin to continue to happen, and we isolate ourselves. That's when we start to do maybe some secret eating. That's when we eat in secret. That's when we do things away from people because we're feeling guilty and we're feeling bad, and we don't want anyone to say, oh, you said you were going to do so-and-so, and look at you now. So let me just do this over here in secret and be isolated. And so I can, you know, either, you know, just kind of do it in dark. But the isolation continues to breed that doubt, right? So you're in the spin. And then the P is paralysis, right? You're stuck.
You're
stuck in this isolated, doubty place where you've been before, and it feels like I can never do this. I can't. Now, one thing that we know about I can't is guess who's not present in the I can't? Jesus, right?
No,
because
he is
Jesus
not. You're
is
right.
The I can do all things
all
through
things.
Christ. So we have to realize when one thing happens that's not right, we have to prevent the dip from happening. And how do we prevent the dip from happening? We apply CPR. Now, here's the thing about CPR. What we know about CPR is that we have to apply it immediately, right? You can't apply CPR 2 days later because the person is already not here, right?
Right.
You have
to
apply it immediately, and you have to apply it consistently, right? Because you can't do CPR one time and then go away.
No.
Because you still have the same issue. So let's break CPR down for you. C, once you have the one day where you were a little off, the C is conscious connection, right? First, you have to connect with what went wrong. Why did I go into the 7-Eleven and buy the hot Cheetos? Why did I do that? I did that because that was an old habit of mine, and I just happened to drive by, and I was like, hot Cheetos. Like, next thing I knew, I had hot Cheetos. And so how do we handle that? Well, the next time, you know 7-Eleven is an issue for you. So maybe do you have to go to 7-Eleven? And if you do, be conscious, nuts and seeds before you go in, so you've satiated yourself in some way, and then get what you need to get at 7-Eleven. But you have to have a conscious connection with why you did it in the first place. Not a week later, but why the next day that event happened. The second conscious connection is with your accountability, with your support. It is it's a challenge, and I'm not going to say it's virtually impossible, but it's extremely difficult to live in whole body health in isolation. You need your support team. Who is your biggest cheerleader? Maybe it's your grandmother. Maybe it's your sister. Maybe it's your spouse. Whoever it is that unconditionally supports you, unconditionally supports your best, that's the person that you call. And you let them know in advance, you are my lifeline, right? So if I have a day, I'm going to call you and you're going to tell me, you're going to feed the word back to me. You're going to tell me that I'm a doer, I'm a partaker of his promise, I'm a temple. You're going to tell me that I can do this, that I just had a little setback, and that's going to help me get back on track. You plug into the Fit Through Faith Village and say, hey, village, need some love. Guess what? You're going to get all kinds of love right back.
Yes.
You can do this.
Yes.
You're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. Well, you know, this is what I did. So what do you need? How can I support you? So the key thing, again, in that conscious connection is to immediately understand, get to the root of what happened, and plug in consciously with your accountability. You must do that. You can't do this in isolation, right?
That's so true. That's so true.
So that's our C. The P is pray, right? We have to get reconnected, right? We have to understand where, you know, because if we don't pray, guess who's going to get in, right? So we have to pray, get rooted in, you know, back in the word and say, hey, Lord, need a little support. You know, increase my faith. Give me what, you know, just be real about it and connect back spiritually. And part of that pray is leads us to the R, and the R is repent and refresh, right? This is so beautiful, and if you haven't read Acts 3:19, you need to be about it. It says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come. So repent and refresh are tied together. Once we say, oops, I'm human, I made it, you know, I fell off a little bit. You repent, you get it out, you know, it's your humanity. What comes right away is refresh. So don't bend down without standing back up, right? We're repenting, but then we're immediately refreshed. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that refreshing. And guess what? Refreshing feels good. Refreshing feels
light.
Refreshing feels like water is splashed in our face to wake us to do the last part of the R, which is reset. Reset it. Let it go. Reset. You know what to do. You've done it for the past 7 days. You just had the one day. Just get back on and keep going.
Yes.
And that's the CPR.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And give that scripture one more time.
Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord.
I love it. I love it. You know, again, you are like the whiz. I used to think I was a wordsmith. I don't know. Your acronyms are off the chain. DIP, doubt, isolation, paralysis. You know, and how many of us are guilty of doing that? Just second guessing or doubting, you know, that we can or that we could actually do the things that we know we can do, but we just from past records or, you know, I've got these clothes in my closet. I keep thinking I'm going to get back to it. I'm never going to get back there. We think it all the time. And then right after doubt, as you mentioned, we go right into this thing of, okay, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to do this in secret. It's isolation. And once you get into that cycle, like you said, you're binge eating, you're eating at night, I'm going downstairs to sneak me some chocolate, you know, while the husband's asleep, you know, because I'm already feeling like I'm not going to make it. So, hey, might as well pile on and comfort myself in the midst of that struggle. And the third of the dip, the paralysis sets in and you just stop getting up. You know, you stop sitting your workout clothes out. You stop saying, I'm going to go down. You stop telling your friends you're going to work out and that you're shooting for a goal because you've already felt like you missed the mark. And I think in having that acronym, DIP, it is that. It is a lull.
Yeah.
It is momentary.
Absolutely.
It is temporary. And we shouldn't make a permanent decision in a temporary situation. And that's why I think your acronyms are so powerful and poignant, because when I think of DIP, it is not a valley. It is not a huge black hole. It is a dip in the road. It's like a speed bump. You go over it. A dip is something, you feel the jolt of it, but it doesn't mess up your axis. It doesn't take you off course. A dip is merely that. It's a momentary situation that causes you to go, oh, okay, did that. And then, like you said, to do the CPR, where we actually are conscious about, you know, why we did what we did, have a conscious connection to, okay, and immediately have that, okay, figure out why did I do that? What made me do it? What was the trigger? You know, was I sad? Was I upset? Was I frustrated? Was I feeling guilty? Did I, whatever that trigger is, and then go into praying about it so that A, it could be revealed, but B, so that the healing can start place.
Yes.
Because I know when I give God my prayers, when I surrender my prayers to Him, the moment I consciously think, Lord, I'm about to pray, when I do that, immediately the posture is one where peace overwhelms me, Charlie. When I pray, it is peace rests on my mind, peace rests on my heart. It is all encompassing. And so when I think of CPR and going into being conscious and then going into prayer, immediately I know it's going to be reset, which of course leads me to the R that you just mentioned, the one. The R is for repent, which is to turn away from. So we repent, you know, give ourselves permission to say, okay, I'm sorry about that, or I'm going to turn away from that. And then, of course, the refreshing, which is the watering, the nourishing our mind, the nourishing our spirit to say, hey, I can do this. I can win. I can accomplish this. I can get this done, you know, and then go into the last part of the R, which is the reset button, so that I'm back on track. I'm back doing what I'm supposed to do. And yeah, that dip happened, but that dip didn't derail my destiny. That dip just caused a little hiccup, a little bump in the road. And I thank you for that. I thank you. So dip and then CPR. And, of course, she shared with us that is Acts 3:19 so that we know the root of it.
Refresh.
So we can have need that anchor to that that reset and refresh.
And I think all of that is to realize it's going to happen. So it's not, so don't be surprised when you have a lapse.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a relapse. A lapse is going to happen because life happens. And I think we get, especially in, you know, why the word says, don't grow weary in well-doing, right? When we're doing well, don't grow weary in it. You know, just keep doing well. And there will be, it will come. There is a valley, you know, at the other side of every mountain. And then it goes right back up, right? So the reality is that it's going to happen. So that's why you have to immediately apply CPR. Because once you have the day that's going to happen, then immediately what happened? Who do I need to connect with? Let me pray about it. Let me forgive myself because I'm human, and let me reset. So next day, I'm ready to go. But it's those who expect perfection or who are perfectionists, and then when that day comes, it totally that's where the dip happens because you're not ready for it. So then you doubt everything that you've done and isolate and get paralyzed because it hits you like a ton of bricks. It shouldn't hit you like a ton of bricks because it's going to happen.
It is, and I'm so glad you said that because I think people think it's an anomaly. I think they think that it doesn't happen to people like you, that it only happens to people like me, you know, and you're saying, hey, which is why the only way you could talk about the dip in the CPR is if you've experienced it and or know that it happens. And we can't feel like we're alone in it. And that's the other reason why I think Fit Through Faith has been such a godsend community, because I've got partners in life. I've got, you know, my best friend, TV, and then I've got my business partner who's also one of my fitness partners, Aaron, and then we've got Morgan. So there's like a group of four of us, and we're always constantly challenging each other, and we're all on, of course, Fit Through Faith. But it's a part of that community. When you feel like you belong, I remember, I'm totally going to digress for a second, but you might remember this, Sex in the City. When Sex in the City was out, and there would be times that one of the girls would kind of get off her eating plan or whatever, and she'd show up, and they're like, ooh, what's going on with you? And I can see it clearly. I can't think of the girl's name right now, but she had a little pooch. She had gotten really comfortable. Her little tummy was over her little, she had her belly out, but her belly was over her skirt. I call it the Dunlap disease, where your belly Dunlapped over your pants, skirt, and so they were just like, girl, what's going on? You know, and she hadn't realized it because she wasn't around her friends. She was so busy working, and she was happy in a little relationship, kicking it with some young guy or whatever. But I say that to say this. When I'm not around people who know me, know my size, know some of my habits, it's real easy to go under the radar and be an invisible person in the midst of people. But when I get back around my real friends, And that's not to say we're looking at each other like, oh, you're too fat or you're too. It's not even that. It's about we've made commitments to one another that we want to be healthy, that we want to be fit. And not to mention, we're all in the industry, the four friends that I'm talking about on this other side, we're all in the industry. And so there's a certain image that is expected, and, you know, there's odds based on weight, height, all kinds of things. So you want to keep as much of it, instead of getting caught up in the whirlwind of the things you cannot control, we want to do the things that we can control and make sure we're on top of it, which is why your tips have been so helpful, because it gives us guardrails, it gives us boundaries, it gives us room, too, because we don't feel like, oh, I got to do this, and this, or I'm going to fail at it. It's like, no, breathe, and just pick an amount that is doable, kind of like your hydration for this particular week. It is doable, and every day I've been getting better. So I thank you. Let's share another tip, and then I want to make sure that we have enough time to share how people can connect with you and or get your book and be a part of your wonderful community that I am also a part of, as well as our executive producer. So let's go ahead and share at least one more tip if you got one. Yeah. And let me say this before we do the tip. If you have a comment or you have a question, please give us a call at 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into the queue, and we'll take you right after this tip. Go ahead, Charlie. The floor is yours.
Yeah, so the last thing is really about where do you start? Because oftentimes at the beginning of the year, there's so much, you know, kind of a swirl of confusion. And, of course, we know confusion is not God's space. But keto, paleo, high carb, low carb, there's all this stuff. And I just want to encourage you not to get kind of caught up in the hype of the noise of the industry, and really to keep it simple. There are three things that I will encourage you all to focus on. The first one is purpose, right? We know that we were created to do good works, Ephesians 2:10. That's why we're here. We were created to do good things. And I talk about in Fit Through Faith, this is the year to do something great for God, right? So I want to be in a ready position to do that. But I need to connect to purpose. So really understand, you know, again, big, bold why, what my purpose is. And so don't start this journey without being rooted in purpose and with your why. The second thing is plants. You need more plants in your life. There are 80% of Americans don't get enough fruits and vegetables. That would be 80. So for every meal that you have, it's veggies first. If you can have veggies in every meal, and ideally if half of your meal is veggies, colorful veggies, greens and purples and oranges and reds and yellows, all those beautiful colors of God's abundant buffet, the canvas that he paints with food is beautiful. And there's something that when you look down and you see all those rich colors on your plate, that just gives you a little joy down deep on the inside, because you know that what you're eating is going to give you energy and creativity and confidence to do your purpose. So really making sure, again, crowding in plants is going to crowd out some of that packaged and processed food. So don't think about, I've got to get rid of all this stuff. Think about what you're crowding in. There's not going to be room on the plate for some of the other stuff.
Yes.
Start to focus on more plants. I'm not talking about being vegan tomorrow. I'm not even talking about being vegan, period. But what I am talking about is being plant-powered, making sure that the majority of the food that you're eating is the food that God created for your body to digest, to give you energy and nutrients and all that yummy goodness that you're going to get from doing that. So you've got purpose. You just want more plants. Not, you know, so whatever you're doing right now, just do more. So green leafy goodness smoothie, right? You're going to get plants.
Yes.
A nice sexy salad for lunch. You're going to get more plants. Roasting some colorful vegetables for dinner and having it sweet potatoes, regular potatoes, Brussels sprouts, all of those things. Just have a roasting party. Eggplant. Roast a bunch of stuff and then you have it for you know, for dinner. So the key is just more, right? And then the last piece of the three P's is just more physical activity. You have to move more and sit less. It's not just about, I worked out for 30 minutes or an hour in the morning. That's great. That's amazing. It's not enough. You have to sit less. What are you doing at lunchtime? Did I get a little 10-minute walk in? Awesome. It's the long sitting that's also taking years off of your life. So if we just need to move more. Whatever you did today, do more tomorrow. set a goal,
that's
whether
good.
It's steps, whether it is, you know, just start a walking program at your job. It can be walking around the floor and then going up a floor and walking around the floor. Don't let weather be in the way or get in the way of doing something good for you.
I love it. I love it. I've been roasting vegetables lately. I do Brussels sprouts. I do red onions. I do zucchini and squash and asparagus. And I have been, the energy that I have since I've started doing it, because, of course, I told you I didn't start till the 6th. So when I started on the 6th, I've been doing it. And so what I found, though, putting a little bit of olive oil, a little salt and pepper, and then I roast it. Of course, you put the oven at 450, and then you keep it in there for like 12, 13 minutes. But what I found is I am so full from the vegetables. A, the colors, they taste yummy, and B, I have less of an appetite for any meat to be added. So I may do a couple pieces of shrimp, or I may do a little piece of fish or something like that. But I found that it's filling me up, and then I also have stocked up on fresh fruit, you know, my blackberries, my raspberries, my blueberries. I've been making sure I get that in so that if I do a juice and then I do a hefty dinner that's more plant-based versus meat-based, maybe for lunch I may do a more of a meat-based sandwich, like a sandwich, or I'll do an avocado sandwich.
Yes.
But
nice.
I have found, Charlie, what it has helped me do, and then I'm going to get off it so we can have you share your information. For our listeners, trust her when she's saying, if you add more plants to you, you're going to have more energy, your skin's going to look better, all things in your body is going to respond in a different kind of way. So why don't you evaluate it, give it a 30-day try, and see if you feel better, see if you look better, see if you have more clarity, see if your skin is clearing up, see if you have some results. Give it a good 21 to 30 days, and then watch and see. And at the end of that, if you find that it has benefited you, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice and your body a disservice to not make steps to continue on that path. So, Charlie, I would love for you to share with our listeners how they can contact you, keep in touch, join the community, as well as get your devotional, because I wrote the foreward to it, which I thank you for the honor
you,
of being
you,
able to write the foreword to it. But I absolutely love how you lay out the information and how practical it is for us to take these steps. So the floor is yours to share some information with our listeners so they can keep in touch.
No, absolutely. So fitthroughfaith.com is the mothership. That's my website. You can also get the book there. It's through is THRU. So fitthroughfaith.com is where you can connect with me, where you can get the book. It's also actually on Amazon and Barnes & Noble if you're an ebook person. So if you Kindle, you've got Amazon.com. If you Nook, you've got BarnesandNoble.com. The ebook is actually really super affordable. But I would encourage you to get a journal if you're going to do the ebook, because the key is to write stuff down and be reflective.
Yeah.
My social media, I'm on Facebook. I'm at Fit Through Faith, which is my Facebook page. But my group, which I love and which I really love to play in, is the Fit Through Faith Village. So I see you today, I'm going to automatically approve you because I know where you're coming from. That's a place where, again, I do challenges. We're actually going through Faith, Food, and Fitness right now. We started this week. It's not too late to jump in. All I'm doing is I'm doing Facebook Lives, and I'm just encouraging you, and it's giving you a community to support each other, and that's the most important thing. It's not just all about me giving you tools. It's about you encouraging each other. Right, because we're all in this journey together. And then also on Instagram, I'm at I Am Fit Through Faith, where there's more pictures, more quotes, just again encouragement on this journey, because it's simple, but it's not easy. And I recognize that because I'm actually living it.
Oh, that's good. All right. So you guys have it. You've heard it. Log on and check her out at fitthroughfaith.com. Of course, connect with her on Facebook and Faith Through Faith. And I'm on there. We post different pictures. We're doing hydration this week. You still got a couple of days. You can jump in with us trying to get up to that 64 ounces. Charlie, I thank you so much for parting the Red Sea of your world to be on OMG. As always, what a wonderful way to start up my year. You started off my year last year as well, and I'm so appreciative that you have a big yes in your mouth with all capital letters and with sparkles around it. So I appreciate that. To our listeners, don't forget, you can check us out on podcasts. Please share the podcast on iTunes with your friends. All you have to do is look up to Me Radio and then search OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show, and you'll catch us there. And you can find me
at MaraGale.com and on social at MaraGale. God bless you. Be encouraged. And let 2019 be the year that you make a difference in your life so that your future is going to be healthier and you will be happier. God bless you.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursdays at 7 o'clock p.m.
Oh.